unbelievable way. And just I just praise God for you. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Let's give her a hand. And we want to thank you, Ruth, for heading up that play at Faith City Church. You know, there was an awesome play. It went on for 2 days. Somehow I got in it at the end there. But anyways, it was a two-day play. How many of you came out to the play? And was it a good play? Yeah. Amen. It was funny. I noticed Sterling on Facebook, he got several hits. Amen. They put a little clip of him. Actually, Pastor did. And it was several thousand people watched it. I'm amazed that they just clicked it on. Even in Saskatchewan, I drove home to Saskatchewan the other day to pick up a dog. That's how dog-orientated I am. No. I went and picked up a dog, and I was in a little small town of Endeavor. And they said, are those professional actors? Talking about Sterling and Mandy. So they just got a real good kick of that. Right in Saskatchewan, they watched some clips. So that's the media nowadays. It goes all throughout everywhere. Amen? So this morning I want to bring to you a message on what are we going to talk about today? Ruling and reigning in 2017. Everybody say ruling, reigning in 2017. Amen. So it's January 1st. Again, it's a privilege and an honor to be able to share the Word of God right this very first Sunday of 2017, actually January 1st. And you know, God wants us to rule and to reign in every area and capacity of life. And I pray that you'll be able to open up your spirits, open up your hearts, and receive from God. Amen? Because it's the Word of God that changes a life. You could just think with your head up here. That's that thing up here, and say, okay, well, that's good, Dad, that's good. But if you open up your spirit, your heart, guess what? God will just flood right in there. Because it's hungry hearts that God wants. He wants people open to the things of God. I've never seen anybody who doesn't want to have anything to do with something and then receive from what was given out. I always find that people have to be open to receive. If I was going to give you a gift, you would have to at least put out your hand and say, and grab a hold of it. If you just sit there and I say, I've got something for you. They sit there, I sit there, and nothing gets transferred. But if it was a big check, guess what? You just reach out and you grab it. Amen? I know someone brought a very generous check to the church the other day, and I know that I have to reach out and receive it. Amen? For the building fund and for the church itself, it was the last year end offering, and I just had to reach out and I had to say thank you and go ahead and receive it. And then when I opened it, I said, "Well, thank God, Amen. The church is being blessed, Hallelujah. God is good, Amen." That check was over $10,000, so we just thank God. Let's thank God for that. Thank you, Lord God, that you are good and your mercy endures forever. But if I wouldn't have reached out and received what the fellow had to give to the church, guess what? Then it wouldn't have got here. But guess what? When we reach out, and so when our hearts this morning, we pray that you would open up your spirits and receive from God. How many of you can do that? Amen, amen. We got some action in the house. So over in Romans 5:17, it says, "For by one man's offense," that would be Adam, "death reigned by one." So that word reigned, you know, that reign is authority and dominion and influence, and it's rule and authority. That word reign throughout the Bible, if you want to look up the word reign, guess what? You're going to have a whole list on about reigning and what it means in different capacities. Usually it has to do with great authority. Kings would reign over kingdoms. You know, I watched a little bit of the UFC fight. How many of you watched that yesterday? We see those four or five hands. Anyways, what there is when it comes to a competition, they would have one person that's the reigning, the champion, the defending champion. And they're in this corner. They're ruling. They're reigning. They won a belt. And they won the victory in a competition. And so this person wants to take that from them. And so they're going to fight for it. And many times they lose their belt. It's funny that both of them are such strong talkers. It just amazes me of how bold they are. And yet somebody gets beaten and defeated, and yet they still are talking. It amazes me, but yet the one who won the belt is ruling and reigning in that capacity. But, you know, we're not supposed to be ruling and reigning over one another. You know, I'm going to push you around and tell you what to do. No, but we are supposed to push around and tell the devil what to do. Amen? When it comes to him bothering you in 2017, you have to stand up against him. You're the one, I'm the one that has to say, no, we're not going to tolerate that right now. You know, I think about Cain and Abel. The Bible says they were the first brothers on earth, you know, sometimes family members, eh? But there was Cain and Abel. And Cain got ticked off at his brother Abel. He got so mad that he wanted to kill his brother. And the Lord came to Cain and said to him, why are you so upset, Cain? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Cain heard the Lord's voice and walked away. And guess what? The Lord also said, sin is crouching at the door and desires to have you, Cain, but you must master it. Everybody say, you must master it. And so sin was at the door of Cain. This is in the book of Genesis. And he was at the door of Cain. And the Bible says he's like crouching, waiting to pounce on him. And Cain couldn't resist him. And he went and killed his brother. That was the first murder that happened on planet Earth, is Cain killing his brother. And so his blood was shed. But guess what? Cain was supposed to rule and reign over that suggestion and thought. And so I want to bring to you this morning that we are to rule and to reign in 2017 over three areas. All of the suggestive thoughts, all of the imaginations, all of the inclinations. Guess what? You've got to rule over those things. Amen? Over your mind, over thoughts that come to you. Brother Hagin says you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair. Amen? Or in my case, just putting twigs up there. But anyways, you can stop those birds, amen? But they're going to fly, and thoughts and suggestions are always going to come. Also, we have to rule our words, the words you say. Have you ever said words that you regretted? You said them, and then they went out of your mouth, and then later on you thought, that wasn't good. I shouldn't have said those words. And so we're going to have to rule over our thoughts in 2017. We're going to have to rule over our words. And everybody say our actions. Our actions are always lined up with our thoughts and our words. So over in Romans 6, verse 12, it says, let sin not therefore reign in your mortal body. So again, the word reign, don't let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey the lust thereof. Again, that gives us this is a New Testament scripture in Romans, that it says that we should not let it reign. And back to that 5:17 again, it says, for by one man's offense, that's Adam's death reigned, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. So you see that word reigning there. God wants us to reign and to rule. He doesn't want you to be ruled and reigned by the enemy. He wants you to rule and to reign. Let's go over to Genesis 1, 26 and 31. Now, again, we're going to be reading some scriptures. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as you hear God's word, open up your hearts and receive what God is saying. So over in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, and God said, let us make human beings in our image. This is how God created humans on earth. And you know, there's 7 billion humans on earth. Isn't that amazing? You don't think it's amazing? My little son makes little creatures. I thought that was amazing. He makes these cute little creatures. But guess what? God made human beings. And today there's 7 billion of them. And he cares for every one of them. Those watching by live stream, he cares for every one of you. Those here, guess what? He cares for every one of you. And he created them and made them and gave them authority and dominion and said, now you rule and you reign. Isn't that awesome? What power, what authority to give a will? God made a will in you and you can do whatever you choose. That's so much freedom in that. I just get excited. Because I'm not bound just by the enemy or bound by this or bound by that. No, I'm bound by Jesus Christ. And we can rule and we can reign with him throughout all this life. So 2017, we should be able to rule and to reign because of what Jesus did for us. We should be able to have authority in our own lives. Sometimes with the lives of others, we can't control them. You may have a relationship, you'd say, oh, I would like to control that person and make them, you know, do this, do that, read their Bible, pray. Well, all the best to you. But guess what? You're going to have to rule and you're going to have to reign in your own life first. You're going to have to say, I'm the one who's going to take control of this house, so to speak. Because you are a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in this house, this body. And so that spirit, man, has to dominate this body and to bring it under control. So let's see how God made us in the very beginning. So God said, let's make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign. Everybody say reign. Over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, livestock, wild animals of the earth, and small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. And God said and blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, reign over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, animals that scurry on the ground. And God said, look, I've given you every bearing plant through the earth and all the fruit trees for food. And again, you have to take it in context. In the New Testament, he said, Peter, you can eat some pork too. There was a big sheet that was let down. And guess what? There was all kinds of animals. And the Bible says, what God has cleansed, let no one say it's not cleansed. Amen? So you could eat a little bit of everything. I wouldn't recommend overdosing on it. But guess what? God has blessed it. Amen? And we don't have to feel condemned. Oh, I ate a piece of bacon the other day for breakfast. I feel so bad about it. I wanted to be a vegetarian this year, but I couldn't do it. I need that bacon. And so don't feel condemned about it. God put it on the earth, and he sanctified it. And when you pray over it, it's blessed. Amen? Hallelujah. So the vegetarians say, well, we'll see about that. But the meat eaters said yes. Amen? So anyway, everything in moderation when it comes to that. So anyways, so God put that on the face of the earth, and he said, fruit trees for your food, and I have given every green plant for food for the wild animals, birds of the sky, scurry. And then God looked over all he made and saw that it was very good. And the evening passed and the morning came, marked the sixth day. So that first area we're going to have to rule over is over our thoughts, our impressions, and our suggestions. So here's the temptation that came over in Genesis chapter 3, 1 to 10. Now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said, so right there, I don't like that, but guess what? The beast, apparently it was a snake, came up to Eve. Now God talked to Eve and Adam, and he said, out of all these trees, there's thousands, probably, I don't know how many trees there are in the world, but the garden was full of trees. God said, eat of every one of them, but that one tree don't eat, for the day you eat is the day you die. And Satan came and brought an impression, a suggestion, a thought to Eve and said, if you eat of that thing, you're going to be wise. It's going to be good for food. You're going to be wise. It's good for food, and it looks good. You know, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I used to sing a song like that when I was single. And I would drive down the road in my car. You know, you could sing God's word all the time. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life will take a man down. Lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life will take a man down. Because it's the lust of the eyes, what you see, and the lust of the flesh, you know, how it feels. It feels good. If it feels good, do it, some say. No, not necessarily. Thank God if it's in line with the word of God. I could enjoy some nice food and say, this is tasty, this is good, I enjoy it. Thank God for it. But guess what? If it's sin, then I don't care how it feels. Guess what? That's not in line. Sexual immorality outside of marriage, guess what? It may feel good for a moment, But guess what? It's not in line with God's will and purpose. God designed that to be in the marriage bounds. And so if it feels good, do it is not necessarily a scripture. I believe Nike came up with that. And I don't know their background or whether they're Christian or going to church or not. Who knows? But you can do some research on it and see what they believe. But we have to go with what the Bible says. Amen? Go with what the Bible says. So this Satan, this serpent, came and said unto the woman, hath God said? So right there is the questioning. Did God say it? Yeah, if he said it, then that's it. We should be able to hold fast. You know, many times in life, suggestions come to us. You'll be mean to that person. Why should I be mean to that person? Maybe I should bless them, amen? Maybe I should do good. But yet the suggestive thought says, no. Brother Hagin gives the story about his relatives. You know, he was an orphan and didn't have a dad. And so his relatives were very mean. He actually got spit on. So that's from really rough relatives to spit on a person. I don't know what kind of relatives he's got there. But anyways, they spit on him. And he got born again. He said that he felt that Jesus had saved him as a young boy. And all of us should experience that born again experience to be alive unto God. And he was walking down the street and he seen this auntie that had been so mean to him, so cruel to him. And he said, I'm going to walk on that side of the street. I'm going to teach her a lesson. I'm not going. I'm going to walk on this side of the street. But he said the love of God constrained him. He found himself walking on that side. And he goes up to the auntie, who spit on his face and walked right up to them. And the love of God constrained him. That woman fell to her knees and said, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. And we all need prayer. Hear the love of God constrain that came through him and touched that woman. Amen. How many times have we not maybe wanted to let the love of God constrain us, eh? We'd say, no, we're going to teach them a lesson. You know, the flesh is like that. You hit me, I'll hit you. You spit on me, I'll spit on you. You do me bad, I'll do you bad. But not in God's kingdom. The Bible says, you do me bad, bless God, I'm going to do you good. You speak bad about me, guess what? I'm going to speak good about you. Amen? And that is a mature person that can handle that. And that takes some growing up spiritually to be able to do that. Amen? To go that one step further. Someone speaks bad about you, go ahead and bless them. Give them some money. I'm not giving them no money. I hope they rot. No. Go ahead and bless them. Go ahead and let the love of God constrain you. The love of God is far superior, and that's the kind of love that we're dealing with as born-again people. As children of God, we got the love of God in us. Amen? And so when you have an opportunity to do God's will, to do what he desires, you go ahead and you operate. Amen? We got a lot of flashing around here, eh? I don't see anybody with any old cameras. But if there's some kids on the lights, tell them to stop. Amen? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so he said unto the woman, hath God said? Yeah, God did say, Satan, what's the matter with you? Didn't you listen? God said, don't eat of any tree. You bonehead. Though it doesn't help to call Satan names. But guess what? You got to be strong with him because God said it. Amen? You can't let him mess around with your mind. So he said unto him, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said, we may eat of the trees of the garden, but the tree in the midst of the garden, God had said, don't eat it nor touch it, lest you die. So good old Eve, again, just like all of us, she added a little bit to it. God didn't say anything about not touching the fruit. He said, just don't eat it. Of course, to eat it, I guess you could bring your just in your mouth there and bite on it. But anyways, she said, we're not supposed to touch it. He didn't say anything about touching. He said, don't eat of it. So she should have just stuck with the bare word of God, what God said. Many times we got things in our own mind. We grew up in different families, different homes. We went to different denominations. We believed different things. And sometimes we'd bring God to God and we say, no, God, this is the way it is. No, God said, this is the way it is. What the Bible said, this is the B-I-B-L-E. This is the word of God. That's what I said. And so Eve fooled around a little bit with the word. Not too much, but she did say that. And then the serpent said again. So here's the serpent talking. So again, I'm talking about in 2017, you got to rule over impressions that come to your mind. I wonder how many people have been divorced and later on they thought, wow, how did that all happen? I wonder how many people committed adultery and then they thought, wow, how did that happen? I wonder how many people have sinned and said, wow, how did that happen? Well, it came simply, a thought. If you're going to rob a bank or do something, did they just think one day, that there's that one show, Ocean's 11 or whatever, they played it like a million times over the year. But anyways, how does that happen? Well, there's some planning going on, amen? They sit down at the table, and they're saying, okay, this is the way we get in there, and this is what we do, and this is the way it goes, and this is what we got to do, and then we got to do this. And so they plan it all out, every little aspect, and then they walk away with the money. Woo-hoo! That's Hollywood, eh? But the Bible says, actually, if you do something like that, that's going to cause trouble to you. But anyways, but how did they do it? They thought about it. And it's the same thing with Satan, putting suggestive thoughts. I've actually cried. I have compassion tears at times, but sometimes I just have little selfish tears. And sometimes some selfish tears. Oh, Lord, that's a temptation unto me, little old me. Don't you know how weak I am in those areas? I'm just a little guy. I'm just a human. No, you're called to rule and to reign. Amen? You are called to use authority. You are called to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? You are called to be like Jesus. I tell you, Jesus had such power and such authority in his life. He said, who are you? He said, I am. And they all fell down. All the mighty soldiers of the armies of Rome fell to the ground under the power of Jesus Christ. He said, they don't take my life from them. I give my life. And that's the kingdom of God. It's freely giving. It's freely serving in the kingdom of God, in the church. It's freely ruling and reigning. And so Satan tempted Eve again and said, here, as God said, you shall not surely die. For God knows. So now he's talking. Satan, the father of lies, is talking right now. For God knows that the day you eat, your eyes are going to be open. You'll be as gods. They are gods. Because God created them. Amen? I am who I am because I was born in this earth. And when I asked Jesus, then I'm a child of God. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. Amen? So Satan's twisting things and he's saying, you'll be like gods, knowing good and evil. And then the woman saw, again, the lust of the eyes. She saw that it was good for food. And what else? That was pleasant to the eyes. Oh, it looks so good and tasty. I know it is. And the tree to desire to make one wise. That's the pride of life. You know, it's going to make you wise. How would you like to be the smartest man on the earth? Amen? Sterling, you'll be the greatest actor there was. Oh, yeah, we'd say we'd feel good about that. Well, sure. Well, it's better than being, he's the worst actor in the world. No, you want to do your best. You want to do your best. But here Satan tempted Eve and said, it'll be wise. You'll be like God. Well, you are God. Amen. You're God's son, God's child. And so she went and she took of the apple and ate of it. And Adam was right beside her and she said, here, dummy, eat this. He said, okay, honey. And he ate it and immediately their eyes were open. And then they felt that they were naked and they were all ashamed. See, sin brings shame, condemnation. But thank God through Jesus Christ, he brings us right back to the throne. Amen. When they sinned, then Jesus, God Almighty, Holy Spirit, that God went and took a little baby lamb. Now, he created animals too. Okay, so I'm talking about ruling and reigning over your suggestions, but he made animals, and he killed that little baby animal. He just made something. If you make something, do you want to kill it? No, you want to help it, nourish it, bless it. And here he took that little sheepy or whatever it was and killed it, took its little coat off of him and said, Adam and Eve, here's some garments and made some beautiful robes for them and so they can cover their nakedness. And that was the first sacrifice. And then Jesus had to come later on and die on the cross for us to sacrifice for our sins. So there was a trickery going on. But guess what? God doesn't want you fooled by impressions, suggestions, or anything along those lines. If you find that, don't entertain it. Amen? Everybody say, I won't entertain thoughts not in line with God's word. And so you and I can entertain those thoughts that are not in line with God's word. because they come so subtle, and you actually bed down and buddy up with them. And so when you hear that, that's right, that's true. You know, those people weren't very nice. You know, you're exactly right. They're supposed to be Christian. I know they're supposed to be Christian. They're sure acting bad. I know they're acting bad. This is all a bunch of garbage. This is all a bunch of garbage. And they trick you away from the plans and the purposes of God. Amen. I know over the years, Pastor Roma said, so many times he wanted to use somebody in the ministry. But guess what? The enemy got to them before he could actually help them. Because they went with the suggestions, went with the thoughts, went with something. And then they got offended or whatever and dispersed and left. And he wanted to use them. He said, this was prime material for the glory of God and the kingdom of God. Sometimes there's patience it has to be involved in our lives. Sometimes there's long suffering. Sometimes it could be very long suffering. You know, Abraham was 75 when God started talking to him. Like, that's pretty old. 75 years old, God started talking to him. And then it took up to he was 100 years old till he received the promise. So if you're a mathematician, what's that? 25 years? And so it took some time for him to believe the promise of God. Against all obstacles, against all suggestive thoughts. You're too old. You're never going to have a baby. You didn't produce when you were young. You ain't going to produce now. No, but God said, God said, God said, God said. And so he held fast. The Bible says he was fully persuaded. What God promised, he is well able to perform. And guess what? He got the promise. And you and I are going to get the promise if we stay steady and faithful in the little things here. You be faithful in the little, God will promote you to much. Amen? Bigger than you could ask, think, or imagine, because it's God that's at work in you. It's not yourself. He loves you and wants the best for you, but you're the one that has to yield. I'm the one that has to yield to the Spirit of God and say, yes, God, I believe you. I'm trusting in you. This is the plan of God for my life, and you go ahead and enjoy it. Amen? Because God wants you blessed in it. So those thoughts, impressions, and suggestions, you and I got to rule over them. The other thing we've got to rule over is our words. Everybody say our words. We have to rule over our words. So it says, for though we walk in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. But mighty through God, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought to the obedience of God. Thank God. So those words, next one is the word. So Matthew 12:34, it says, O generation of vipers. Now, when we read that, guess what? Some of us will say, oh, God, am I a viper? Am I just a viper? No, he was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Are you still all here? Amen. Can you handle a little bit more? Yeah. So he was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he says, you generation of vipers. What else did he say? Oh, you being evil, how can you say anything good? So for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. But an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings evil things. And I say unto you, every idle word that men speak, this is Jesus talking, they shall give an account. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. So a good man out of the abundance of his heart is going to bring forth good things. So when you say, oh, I guess God don't want to heal me, that's evil. Guess what? You're supposed to say, himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. When he says you're not saved, you say, hey, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe it in your heart, you shall be saved. You say you're not filled. The devil says you're not filled with the Spirit. The Bible says they were all filled and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the devil will say, oh, that's just not making any sense. You and I are the ones that are making sense of the Word of God in our lives. We're the ones that have God on the scene. Amen? Isn't it nice that God is in your house? That God is in your mind, that you're walking around, that you're thinking on the things of God. We're children of God. If God is going to be seen in Thunder Bay, if he's going to be seen at Faith City Church, if he's going to be seen in your life, guess what? You got to let him in there. Amen? You got to go ahead and say, thank you, Lord, that you are inside me. And where I go, God goes. John G. Lake, a great man of God, he used to wear a suit. He was a businessman until God called him into the ministry. But he used to look at himself in the mirror and he said, God's in that man in that suit of clothes. He'd look in the mirror and talk to himself. And he says, where that guy goes, where that suit of clothes goes, God goes. So you are a representative of God. Amen? And God is leading you and God is directing you. So these words, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now this next scripture is a classy one, Matthew 15, 18. Because you are a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in this body. And so sometimes when those suggestive thoughts come, they come to your mind. Amen? They come into your mind, and then they start to filter down through your soul and get in your spirit. And now that spirit is alive unto God. You accepted Christ from your heart. You're born again unto God. But look what this scripture says here. Over in Matthew 15, 18. But the things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. So you're going to find everything that's coming out of your mouth. Brother Hagin used to tell us, what kind of faith do you have? Well, listen to what you're saying. Amen? What's coming out of your mouth? Is doubt? Is defeat? Is failure coming out of your mouth? Is maybe insecurity coming out of your mouth? You know, some of the songs on the radio, and you know, I listen to the radio at different times. We went on a trip. We listened to all kinds of garbage. But anyways, the Christian radio sometimes, I get into it, and it's very good. But sometimes, as soon as it says that, my son Joe is 9 years old, and he heard a song on the radio about death coming to this person and doom coming to this person. And he said, I don't like that song. Well, why do you think he don't like it? Because it's a garbage song. Yeah, there might be a beat to it, but guess what? It's garbage. It's absolute trash, especially to be labeled as Christian. What kind of Christian is that? You know, everybody's dying out. Everything's going downhill. Yes, I understand what they're saying, that through a tough time, you could still praise the Lord, but don't glorify all that trash. We glorify Jesus Christ. Every good and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. But the things which proceed from the heart, they defile a man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts. Well, I thought you think up here. No, guess what? They thought long enough, and it got down to their spirit, and that defiled them. It got in their spirit. And that's where it defiled them. Brother Hagin gave a story, and I mentioned it before, but it's a good one because anything that comes from the Lord, you know, it can be a blessing unto other people. But there was this woman that was actually used of God in the things of God and mightily used. And it was said that she actually left her husband and took up with one man. Took up with another man. Could I get a glass of water? Took up with another man, took up with another man, took up with another man, and guess what? And now she was with some other guy. So she had a whole string of guys. And so the Lord brought him in the spiritual realm. He said, in the spiritual realm, you see things the way the Lord sees them. You know, he sees us seated with him in heavenly places. We're ruling and reigning with him. We're totally blessed people. But he saw this glass figure of a woman. It looked like an hourglass. And it was clear as crystal. And Jesus is narrating, telling the vision, telling the story to Brother Hagin. And so he says, this is how people get obsessed with evil thinking. The thought came to the woman's mind, you're a pretty woman. You're a good singer. You could have had fame and fortune. You could have been very successful. Here you married this guy, which was the preacher. And you married this guy, and you don't have no fame, you don't have no fortune, and you're not singing, you're not doing this, doing that. And guess what? She rejected it. Everybody say she rejected it. And so she rejected that thought. Thanks. I guess I must have ate too much salty food. Maybe that bacon, eh? Thanks. So the story goes on to say she rejected it. And then the thought came again, and she rejected it again. And then the thought came again, and it came time and time again. But finally one day, You know, the enemy is such a sneaky guy. He finally snuck in there. You know, when Jesus defeated the devil every time, the Bible says he left for a season. He couldn't get a fast one off on Jesus. Jesus was too sharp for Satan. And the Bible says he left for a more opportune time. He came back when Jesus surrendered his life and Jesus died on Calvary's cross. But he does come back. And finally, he came back to this woman. The vision is going on. He sees the glass figure. And the voice says, "You're a pretty woman. You could have had fame and fortune, success. You're a good singer. You could have had everything in this world has to offer." And she said, "Yes, I am pretty." So now she's starting to go with it. And she accepted what the enemy said. "Yes, I am pretty." And then the next voice said, "Yes, I am a good singer. And yes, I could have had fame and fortune." So now she's accepting the thoughts that are impressions that are coming to her. And the thought entered her mind, and it became a little black dot. It's a clear vessel. They're looking at the dream, and it became a clear vessel. And then the voice came again, "You're pretty. You're a good singer." And it got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until her whole head was black, and then it went down to her spirit. And then later on in the vision, her whole body was black. And Jesus says, now this woman is obsessed with this kind of thinking. Have you ever got obsessed with a certain kind of thinking? Maybe that wasn't right. You know, you got your own head to think in. All of us at times could become obsessed with this kind of thinking and say, "Oh boy, they did me wrong. They did me wrong. They did me wrong. They did me wrong." So what do you want to do? You want to go kill them? Is that going to solve a problem? Maybe is that going to make you feel better? No, you'll do that, and then you'll go do it again. And you'll do it again, and you'll do it again, and you'll do it again. That's why we got to rule and reign over thoughts, suggestions, and over words, and over actions. And so when they come to us, we're the ones that have to deal with it. So it says, for out of the heart come forth evil thoughts, murderers. How does murder come out of the heart? Well, it's there. It obviously there with Cain. Adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, railings, that's yakking away in a very negative way, hurting people. These things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defile not a man. And so your words are very important. Everybody say, my words is my bond. So when you have an opportunity to speak your word, to speak the truth, you go ahead and do your best to get that fulfilled. Because we want to be people of truth and we want to speak God's word. The last area is the thoughts and impressions and suggestions, the words, and the last one is the actions. It says over in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So our actions that we do, you obviously came here January 1st, 2017. You desired to come to church. So that was a good action. That was a good deed. As you surrender to God and you say, Lord, I want your plan. I want your purpose for 2017. I want your will, you know, to help out in the church. If you want to help out in the church, guess what? That's a good deed. The Bible says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. So you're giving glory to God for your actions. You're giving glory to God for how you're handling your life, for the thoughts that you're allowing in your mind, the words that you're speaking. The actions that you're doing, you're giving God glory. Amen? So it says here that love is something that you do. So love is something that you do. You're the one that has to have that action. I'm the one that has to have that action. And we have to put it into action. Amen? So let's all stand. We've got a few minutes. Let's thank God for his goodness and his great grace. Father, we want to thank you. Thank you that your mercy is from everlasting to everlasting, that we rule and reign in Christ Jesus. Oh, Boramasandarama Stangaraka Sikerama Sandarama Kashtaka. Oh, Vokosokomasa. We say thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we can rule and we can reign with you throughout all eternity. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's thank him. Let's thank him that he's good, that his mercy endures forever. The Bible says that when we acknowledge him, he'll acknowledge us. If you're not born again or saved, you say, Jesus, I accept you. come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sins. I want to be your child. I want to live for you this 2017. Thank you, Lord God. So as we are led, Father, this year, we thank you that our thoughts will be in line with you. Let's all say, my thoughts are going to be God's thoughts. Say, my words are God's words. My actions are God's actions. Amen. So thank you, Lord. We bless each one here. We bless their households. And we say thank you, Lord, for 2017. That it's going to be the best year ever because we're being led by the Spirit of God. I heard a prophecy that said, yes, there's a lot of trouble in the world. Yes, there's a lot of torment. But guess what? Those that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So we are protected in, and we're safe and we're secure through all the trouble. The Bible says about Job that there was a hedge around him, a protection. And there's protection for us in 2017. As we walk in line with God's words, as those thoughts, those suggestions come, we thank you, Lord, that we'll sort them out for the glory of God. As our words come out of our mouth, we'll sort them out for the glory of God. And as our actions, as we're being led, we're going to be led by you, and our actions are going to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you received something this morning? Amen. Let's thank God. Let's lift up our hands. Thank you, Father, that we receive of you your Spirit, your blessing, your anointing to put us over this year. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Again, if you're a first-time guest, they'll show you the way. You can have yourself a cookie and a coffee. And otherwise, everybody have a great week. And God bless you.